It is February 4th, 2011. My name is Chris.
I'm Lindsay.
Kyle.
And I'm Ben.
And this is episode one, our second episode of Marooners Talk.
Feeling like a ham and mustard shake.
Yay!
Our episode title, as Lindsay so thankfully sang for us, is Feeling Like a Ham and Mustard Shake.
Yay!
Bonus points to anyone who leaves a comment on the article for this podcast with what that's referring to.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. It's good times. It's good times. Yeah. But yeah, so you heard that, you know, we're all here. There's a new voice in the podcast that wasn't here last week, and that was Ben, the one that we said was Kyle's friend, and he's also a writer. And Ben is joining us via Skype on his BlackBerry. So, hi, Ben.
I like that we keep referring to Ben as Kyle's
friend
first, and then a writer second. So, in order,
well, I am the most important part of Ben.
That's what it seems. Yeah. Cool. Well, you know, let's do some maybe feedback about last week's episode.
Yeah. I joked in the last episode or the last podcast about when Jonathan said that the Dreamcast sucks. I was like, oh man, we're gonna get some hate mail. When I said, you know, oh, I hate Gears of War. Well, I don't know if I said that I hate Gears of War or if I dislike it. I can't remember.
I remember hate.
Oh, okay. Well, then hate. And you know, so I'm surprised that more people didn't jump on that because a friend of ours on Twitter, Kimotio, I think I'm pronouncing it right. He sent me a tweet last night when he was listening to the podcast and he said, and whoever said that the Dreamcast sucks, it will be best to kick him out, followed by 3 exclamation marks. He says, I almost crashed on the 101 freeway after listening to that. Shocker.
Now, I'm more concerned with the 3 exclamation marks and the fact that he almost crashed. That's a lot of punctuation there.
I know. Well, I mean, that's
that. I agree with him anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. It was, yeah, Jonathan, we need to talk about this. But I mean, look at that, though. In our first podcast, we're already almost killing somebody. So
that's how you know we're good.
We're
almost up to our quota.
Yeah.
we're so good. We're almost Evil Dead good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, almost killing people. That's nice.
But so Sweetie.
Oh yeah. By the way, when we're doing the podcast, do you mind calling me Chris instead of Sweetie?
Why?
Just, you know.
I don't mind if anyone calls me Sweetie.
Yeah, we can call Kyle Sweetie.
No.
I'm not too bad, Kyle.
Shut up, Ben.
Okay, so Christopher.
Yes, Lindsay.
So, last week, you mentioned about this really nifty game called Anarchy Reigns.
Yes, it's quite a nifty game.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, like we mentioned last week, it's the fifth title that Platinum Games is putting out with Sega as the publisher. And pretty much all week so far, we've been getting new videos and screenshots daily for each of the main characters that are going to be in the game. So we had, you know, this ninja guy with a couple of katana. We had this girl with a techno suit that produces 6 long-range ice spikes. And you can very definitely tell that the developers behind Bayonetta are the developers behind Anarchy Reigns when you look at her legs and her butt and her boobs, and it's nice.
Booty.
Yeah. And then yesterday, they gave us a character named Big Bull, who is a 9-foot mechanical monstrosity with a human brain, who takes his jet propulsion unit off of his back and uses it as a hammer. So he has a jet-propelled hammer that he uses to kick everyone's ass with.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always useful.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd kill for one of those things. And then we mentioned Mad World last week in relation to Bulletstorm, in that they were both somewhat similar with some of their gameplay elements. And today it was announced that actually Jack, the main character in Mad World, will be one of the characters in Anarchy Reigns.
Sold instantly.
Oh, yeah. He comes with a retractable double bladed chainsaw named Gator Tooth.
And I want that, like, in real life. Not in the game. I want that in real life.
Yeah. He looks like a steroid pumped Ash from Evil Dead, except with more chainsaw.
I approve. And,
you know, what's surprising to me is not the fact that Jack is in it, but that that is what he looks like in color. That's totally not what I would have thought he'd look like.
Yeah, because you've only seen him in black and white.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't expect him to have hair. If I recall, in Mad World, he was bald, wasn't he?
No, he had spiky hair, I think. And like a, and I'm going to find a picture now.
All right.
No, but I think that's pretty cool, though, that they're putting Jack from Mad World in the game.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was their first game as Platinum Games.
Right.
And it was their first one in their publishing deal with Sega, and this might be the last one in the publishing deal with Sega, so it was nice to kind of bring it full circle.
Yeah, I was just about to say full circle. You know, though, I really wish that they would have released Mad World on PS3 or on 360 rather than the Wii, but oh well.
Well, I'd rather they release it on 360, obviously, because we don't have a PS3.
Right, but you get what I'm saying.
The good thing about releasing on the Wii is, one, the Wii desperately needs awesome titles like Mad World. Don't you agree, right, Ben Drew?
Oh, definitely. There's
yeah.
A huge lack of anything mature on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that and No More Heroes and...
Well, I mean, and they're coming out with Conduit 2 on the Wii.
Conduit 2, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be insane.
This is how bad the Wii has gotten. I've forgotten about a really good game that's going to be coming out.
Yeah, and a really good game that's been splattered all over our website for this past week.
I know. It's like, it's right there. I'm sorry, Conduit 2. You hurt my love. But, yeah, and number two, I think the graphical limitations of the Wii actually helped Mad World, because I think that's one of the reasons they went for the whole black and white style thing, is because if you can't make it look photorealistic, then make it artistic and nuts. And I think that actually worked for it.
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact where, you remember in Kill Bill, how a lot of the insanely graphical parts of the game, and parts of the movie were done in black and white, because if it was done in color, there would have had to have been a change in rating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that's the reason why they also did that on the Wii. I could be wrong, but...
Could be. I mean, it was a very graphic game.
Mm-hmm.
There are some parts that might have been bumped up to adults only, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. Having a black and white game is pretty cool.
Yeah.
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 But, you know, I mean, back to Anarchy Reigns on it, I was already excited about Anarchy Reigns just because it was Platinum Games.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm even more excited about it.
Yeah. I want to play Big Bull. Dude, he looks so awesome. Seriously. He's just big. Hence the name. I know. But also this week, some other news came out. Yesterday, I had a chance to go ahead and sit on this. It was a live demo for members of the press for Atlus's upcoming RPG for the Nintendo DS called Radiant Historia. And I can't remember if I mentioned it last week, but I've really been wanting a good RPG to play. I kind of feel that the way the RPGs have going, it's not really the same as, you know, like the PlayStation 1 glory days, where there were just so many really good RPGs, or even back on the Nintendo.
NES.
Or the, yeah, I know. I was just saying.
Super Nintendo Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I'm rolling it back here, people. But I mean,
Chrono Trigger might be the best game ever made.
Right. Well, no.
And you know what? Referencing Chrono Trigger, that you might like Radiant Historia, because it has that kind of time basis to it.
Yeah, it has you were just saying that it has a whole bit with the time. It has a cute little sprite characters. The art style of the game, it reminds me heavily of Chrono Trigger and Xenogears. And that right there is fantastic. But just from the live demo that I was watching it really blew my mind, because it looks really fantastic. The gameplay of it looks really fantastic. I want the game just by watching the live demo. Because, I mean, I know that we've talked about it on the site a few times, you know, when they released new screenshots, when they released, I think it was a new trailer or stuff like that. I mean, we've talked about it before. There was a
soundtrack announcement.
Yeah, there was a soundtrack announcement. You know, like I said, we've talked about it before, but, you know, having the ability to see the game played, you know, in front of you, it you know, you can't really compare that to anything that you see in a screenshot because it's a still. But, I mean, holy crap, it looks really, really good. And I think it's going to do really well, even though it is going to only be on the DS. So, I mean, I'm really, really curious about it. The soundtrack is gorgeous. It's done by Yoko Shimomura. She did the soundtrack for Legend of Mana, the original Street Fighter II, Kingdom Hearts. And there was one more well-known franchise that she did the music for. But, I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. And then when you're actually in Historia, it looks like something that you would have seen done by M.C. Escher. Yeah, it looks really, really good. I don't really know what more to say about it other than, like, I'm completely enamored by the game, and I haven't even had a chance to play it yet. But, I mean, there's just alone, without doing the 70 side quests, there's probably about 20 to 30 hours of gameplay. There's optional bosses that you can go through that are really difficult, similar to if you play like Final Fantasy 7 or 8, how there was Emerald and Ruby Weapon or Omega Weapon. So there's things like that. And, go and check the article that I wrote about it, because there's a lot of information on there. I mean, I could talk about the game forever, but, you know, there's a lot of really good information about it, some new screenshots. I threw in a couple trailers. And so, you know, for $39.99, you're going to be getting this really long game, multiple endings, and you're also going to get a CD of the soundtrack. It only has 5 songs on it, but, you know, it's going to be really, really quality. And I don't know. I want it. I want it.
It looks amazing.
It does. No, it looks fantastic. So, Atlas, if you ever listen to this, we want it. Shameless plug.
Review copy. Wink.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, shameless plug, right? But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like if it does come in and we do review it, dibs. Oh, man. But with review copies, Chris.
That's exactly the segue I was going to use. Thank you.
Bam.
Speaking of review copies, we got a copy of Bionic Commando Rearmed 2 for XBLA. It came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the time people listen to this, it came out last week. Mm. But, you know, a review will be up by the time this gets out. A review will be up to sometime today, Friday the 4th. But I'm not really liking it that much. I mean, it has some fun moments, but for the most part, I mean, the graphics are a bit choppy at times, especially for, you know, a 2011 game. The jumping mechanic is just really bad. The targeting mechanic for the grappling arm is really frustrating at times. I will say, though, that the co-op is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
It has local co-op, not split screen. It's same screen co-op, and it does make a lot of the game much more fun to play when you have someone else suffering beside you.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Well, and then there was that water level.
Oh, fuck. Okay, here's developers. Stop putting levels in your game where you have to, you know, go vertically in a level before the water level reaches you.
Or lava, or, you know.
Or lava, or whatever.
Oh, Castlevania levels.
Shit like that. That's why I never finished Splosion Man, is because I got to the level where you had to get across before the water caught up to you. I hate that kind of level. I couldn't finish it. That's the level I'm stuck on now. And it's level, I think, like 23 out of 26 levels in Bionic Rearmed 2. Bionic Commando Rearmed 2.
Now, how do you get rearmed for a second time?
Rearmed?
Bionic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean... Yeah, it's frustrating, but I think what it was going for was the old school NES difficulty, And I think maybe a lot of it's like we're spoiled now. I don't want to say that the games that are coming out now are dumber, but in terms of like a learning curve or anything like that or skill, there are games that are easier. And it might be because we have so many buttons on a controller. But then again, having all the buttons, it might overcomplicate things. I don't know. That's, you know, a discussion for another day. But, you know, it was kind of nice to see the old school difficulty being thrown in. The soundtrack, though, you didn't mention the soundtrack. The soundtrack is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, they actually did a competition last year, or a contest, and they had people submit 8-bit remixes of the original 8-bit sounds for the original Bionic Commando, and two of the winners of that contest are responsible for the soundtrack that you hear in Bionic Commando Rearmed 2, and it is really phenomenal. It's the kind of music I'd play in my car, you know, as I'm driving to work. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty nifty.
Yeah.
No, it was really, really good. And the soundtrack. Well, I just want to clarify the soundtrack. Yeah, the soundtrack was really good. But I don't know. I think
we can make Nintendo Hard an episode itself.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
I can tell my Battletoads war stories.
Oh, God. Yeah, Battletoads is one. And you know what? We can use Nintendo Hard to generalize that whole era of gaming because Echo the Dolphin on Genesis.
Dude.
God, I hated that game. It was so freaking hard to beat.
It made me hate dolphins for a while. Oh, man. But aside from playing the Bionic Commando, you've also been playing another game this week.
Yeah, 99 Nights 2, or N3-2, as the title screen says. It's pretty cool. It's a really good sequel. The graphics are phenomenal. The character animations when they're talking don't match up to the actual voice acting, but it's because the characters were animated to speak in Japanese, and then the English is actually dubbed over it. It's not bad programming, it's just programmed for a different language.
Hmm.
But the great thing is that you have these five characters, and each character has his or her own playthrough for the entire story, with their own chapters, their own abilities, their own strengths and weaknesses. It pretty much gives you five full, complete playthroughs of this game for the price of one game. And actually right now it's on sale. I think it was Best Buy for $29.99.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cheap.
Now, this is one of those games like Dynasty Warriors, right? Where you press square to not die.
Pretty much.
No, well...
Baby, it really is. I mean... I stopped playing for a long time because I got really frustrated with it. And even now, I can only play one or two stages in a day, and then I have to put it aside and come back to it.
Oh no, I'll crack out on it.
Because it starts out being really fun when you have hundreds of grunts and giants and stuff coming at you, and you just have to kind of mow your way through them all. But, you know, it does get repetitive. Because you have hundreds and hundreds of grunts and giants.
And you're basically just pressing square to not die.
No. Well, no, there's more buttons. There's more buttons. I mean, to jump is with A, you know, you have, like, your standard attack. You're really, you know, holy fuck, I'm kicking your ass attack. You know, you can roll and dodge. You can block. And then, you know, there's a special attack. Excuse me. There's a special attack with the right bumper where if you just tap it, you know, you'll go ahead and you'll have a special orb attack, but if you hold it, a meter will come up and then you get the right joystick and you move your, you know, you go ahead and you circle it around, almost similar to, I think it was in Final Fantasy X when you would go ahead and move the joystick around when you were doing, the moves. The summons and stuff like that to go ahead and boost it and, you know, really kick ass, so there, you go ahead and you do that. But then, if you hold the left bumper, it'll go ahead and it'll bring up other options for you to do other attacks. And then you can customize, like, what attacks you want to have go in there. And then you can level them up. You can level up your equipment. You level up yourself. And as you're playing through, you'll discover new abilities. And there's, you know, new ways that you can go through each level. you can unlock different colors for your character, so you could change the colors of the character. You can find new weapons. And then there's also boosts that you can add to yourself to where it'll boost your vitality. It'll boost...
endurance and yeah. sort of stuff. But here's the thing. What button do you push 90% of the time when you're playing 99 Nights 3? 2, sorry.
I roll around a lot, and that's how I got that nice achievement.
No, the point is, most of the time, you're either pushing X for light attack, or more often, Y for heavy attack, over and over and over to do the same combo to clear out hundreds and hundreds of enemies.
I don't know, I mix it up.
Maybe this is just me, but in games like this, and I'll use another game, like God of War, for example, they have all these special attacks you can get and upgrade yourself with, and you can get the super awesome kick-ass attack that kills everything in the room. I find one combo that I like, and I use that for 99% of the game.
Oh, yep. Really?
And I am just fine with that.
Oh, no, I agree. But that's how I'll play some.
Yeah, I mean, I mix it up. I mean, here's the thing, like... I know that not a lot of people can get into hack and slashes. In terms of Dynasty Warriors, I don't know. I was never really able to get into it, but I'm really liking 99 Nights 2. But sometimes a good hack and slash, it's so good. It's so nice, you know?
I mean, for that 1 hour it holds my interest, it is a very fun experience. But then I'm like, I'm done pressing square now.
Right. Well, I mean, one thing I will give 99 Nights 2 is, like she was mentioning, there are some specials you can use that just recharge over time naturally. It's a short recharge generally, but some of them are really unbalanced. Like I beat the final two or three bosses actually, by pretty much using one of those specials and a couple of combos, and they were down. And these were big bosses, but I had leveled up this one special attack, set it down, let it do its thing, did my combos, and it was over. So you can kind of, I don't know, unbalance the game that way.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, you figure, though, it gives you the option to where if you just want to play through the game and obliterate everything in your path, you can. Or if you want to go ahead and take the difficult route to where, you know, you want to throw your controller against the wall, you can do that too. It's nice. It's all about having options. but I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to this. I know that last week we talked about Superman.
Last week we talked about Dark Knight Rises.
We talked about Batman.
Oh, well, shit.
No, this week now we're going to talk about Superman. And I wonder if Kyle has any thoughts about Lois Lane and potential casting for Snyder Superman.
Honestly, I don't really care about casting. I mean, I never care about any of that, especially like I discussed last week with Chris Nolan. I trust him 100% to do whatever he wants, and he is producing the Superman movie, so he has some say in this.
Say, there's a, because you were saying, oh, you trust him, but there's this heinous, heinous rumor going on right now that Kristen Stewart, the chick from the Twilight Saga, that first she's going to be Lois Lane, and I do not want.
Well, that rumor was debunked by Stewart's own PR people. Her PR people are saying that she met with Snyder and then declined the role. Or declined auditioning for the role because she wanted to get out of big franchise-style movies and do more independent stuff.
So we agree on something, me and her. Yeah. I want her to get out of movies, too.
Yeah. But, so we don't have to worry about that. But most of the other names that are in the running are pretty good for the most part.
Well, there's Olivia Munn.
There's Olivia Wilde.
Oh, yeah, Olivia
not
Wilde.
Not Olivia Munn.
Oh, all right. Both.
No, I would not say that if there was Olivia Munn in there.
What I heard last night, I was reading things, and they're saying that the female lead for the new Superman won't actually be Lois Lane. Which makes me think it might be like a really early Superman movie with like Lana Lang or something. Lana Lang. Yeah.
Really?
Maybe.
They're doing Gwen Stacy for the new Spider-Man movie, so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I could do something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know that they were talking about maybe Keira Knightley. Oh, God, I don't remember. I can't remember who else
there was.
It was.
Malin Ackerman or whatever.
Oh, yeah, Malin Ackerman, yeah. No, she's good and she's hot.
There was the lady from Wedding Crashers. What was her name? Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, Rachel McAdams. She's hot, too.
Kristen Bell. Other Kristen something.
Oh, yeah, I know Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis, yeah.
Yeah, she's all right.
Oh, Jessica Biel is another shortlist name.
No.
Yeah, I think she's maybe a few years ago, Jessica Biel, but not probably now. Not anymore.
Yeah, no, not anymore. No, I don't want Olivia Munn or Olivia Wilde in it. I don't want either of the Olivias. Stay the fuck away from Superman.
You know, just as long as it's better than Kate Bosworth was last time, we're going to be good.
Yeah.
Oh, how about Olivia Newton-John? Do you want that Olivia?
No Olivias. I want none of it.
You don't want musical Superman?
Oh, God, no. No, I don't want them to all of a sudden jump out into some, like, Bollywood style, you know.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
Maybe we could have, like, Mr. Mrs. Pitlick come in and be like, hey, dance number.
Yeah. that would be the best way to explain why that would happen.
I would watch the shit out of that movie.
Yeah. You know what, though? We probably won't have to wait too long because the way Bollywood in general is doing ripoffs of American movie themes, eventually we will see Bollywood Superman.
Did they ever do a Bollywood Transformers? Because I would be insanely interested to watch something like that.
No, but there's one coming out that's kind of like a Bollywood Terminator meets RoboCop meets some like two or three other things. And it's supposed to be freaking awesome.
That's that one that we saw the trailer for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to leave the podcast now to go find that. Bollywood, Terminator, RoboCop, and some other robot things.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be special. That's the word I'll use. It'll be special. I don't know.
They should call it Bollybots.
Well, did you watch Big Bang Theory last night?
No, I don't watch sitcoms.
Oh, okay. Well, Big Bang Theory last night. Ben, did you watch it?
I did not, no.
Okay. All right. Well, all right.
We're both lame.
They cut into a fantasy Bollywood dance sequence.
Yeah, at the end. It was hilarious.
Because one of the characters is Indian. And so in his fantasy, it's kind of like a love story thing for him. And he breaks into a Bollywood dance number with people appearing out of nowhere and everything.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I love Bollywood.
And it was just funny, though, because, you know, they're nerds and stuff like that. So, like, practically all the people that were doing Bollywood in the background, they were white nerds, you know, dressed with the button, you know, with, like, the button-up plaid shirt and, like, the khaki slacks, like, in the background doing it. I'm like, this just is not... it was good times. It was definitely good times. But we actually had... Over the Twitters and the Facebooks, I was asking people, you know, hey, if you guys have any topics that you want us to talk about or anything like that. And Aldo on Twitter, he is Shinbo Jack. He brought up about us discussing Smallville since it's going to be back on TV tonight, and also other shows like The Cape and No Ordinary Family and V. So
shall we get into Smallville?
Yeah. It's basically, it's not meant to bash Smallville. It's the, hey, Smallville's been gone on its winter hiatus and it's coming back. What do you think? And so I think we should just stick it with that.
No, I think we should discuss Smallville like he requested.
That's not
in
right.
Which case, I hate Smallville for the most part. It pisses and shits all over the Superman mythos using the excuse of alternate reality. Which is fair. I mean, okay, you want to call it an alternate reality. I think a lot of the alternate reality thing is a cop-out for, oh, we're just going to go ahead and piss and shit all over this to get different ratings. So that's what I think about Smallville.
Okay.
Lindsay, of course. Go ahead.
Superman beat Doomsday. That's all I have to say. No, yeah. Smallville.
No, that wasn't happen. Doomsday.
It was Doomsday.
No, I'm sorry.
It was a shitty ass version of Doomsday. But it was meant to be Doomsday.
I know it was.
Who kills Superman?
I know. I know there was the death of Superman.
He comes out and he's like, Superman's like, whoa, what the hell is this? And then he punches Doomsday, and Doomsday's like, no, I don't think so. And then they kill each other. There's no in his teenage years. He's like, oh, it's mini Doomsday.
Oh, dude, yeah, and you know what? Him meeting all of his, like, arch enemies and defeating a lot of his arch enemies before he's even actually become Superman.
It's like, come on, be Superman already.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
He's already defeated Brainiac. He's already defeated Doomsday.
Darkseid.
Yeah, he's working on Darkseid now. Who else was there? The big guys.
Zod.
He's defeated Zod.
Zod was in Superboy comics, so that one's kind of okay.
Yeah. And they brought Zod. It wasn't even General Zod. It was Major Zod because of a clone issue. So it wasn't even actually Zod.
No, what it was... What
the fuck you're talking about, a Major Zod?
No. Okay, here's the thing. What it was is it was before Zod was promoted to General. You know, I'm not even gonna...
It was a clone of Zod's DNA taken when he was still a major.
Thank you.
On Krypton.
Thank you.
And there was also clone of DNA from Jor-El at that same time on Krypton.
Okay, what I will compliment Smallville on is getting one thing absolutely right from the comics. Confusing as hell comic book logic. Major Zod clone from DNA in the Phantom Zone, and you got a not Doomsday who's a guy wearing jeans, and what the fuck is going on? Why aren't you Superman yet?
Well, no. What it was is Jor-El, he went and he did this thing that just in case Krypton was ever destroyed, he would go and take the DNA from everybody and put it all together so that I guess like later on or something like that, everybody would be able to be cloned. And so what had happened is that I guess the device was found, and so a bunch of people came back. That's how it happened. It wasn't him from the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, no, well, it wasn't.
That plan makes sense, except for the fact that if you clone someone, you're not actually bringing them back to life. It's an entirely new person. So how the hell does that plan even make sense?
I know. But...
And welcome to Smallville.
I love Smallville.
I love this episode so far.
No, I love Smallville. I'm just glad they got rid of Lana. I hated Lana. She's so annoying. And I'm so sad because, I didn't want her to come back in the final season, but then I was like, ooh, if she does come back, maybe they'll kill her.
Okay, here's the thing.
You can't kill Lana.
Now, Kyle, do you watch Smallville?
I did for like 3 seasons, and then they started in with the bullshit, but then I kept up with what's going on. By like season 6, I'm like, why aren't you Superman yet?
Right.
Get back to me when you're Superman.
Okay, so after they did the whole Freak of the Week thing every friggin' week where he had some new super villain to defeat and they all knew Kryptonite who he was. Yeah, all created by Kryptonite. For some reason.
Mm-hmm. Even though Kryptonite doesn't do that.
No, not at all. After that, they started getting into more kind of story arc stuff. Now, Lana is out of the picture because she's wearing a suit designed by Lex that absorbed Kryptonite. And so she now has superpowers because of her suit, and she can't be near Clark because her suit has all that absorbed kryptonite.
So then it's invisible, I think.
That's how they wrote Kristen Kruick out of the show.
Thank God.
Is because she now has superpowers, but is imbued with kryptonite, and so can't be near Clark or even in the same city. So she's gone.
I didn't even know I had a vein that big on my forehead.
So now when I say on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever, oh man, I really hate Smallville, and Lindsay argues with me, now everyone knows why I hate Smallville so much.
No, I like it. Kyle, are you moving around again?
I'm trying to contain my rage.
So, Aldo, I'm glad you brought up Smallville. Shall we move on?
He brought up other shows, too.
Yeah. Talk about something happy. He talked about The Cape, which, in my opinion, is crap. And he also talked about No Ordinary Family and V. I mean, okay, here's the thing. We watched, like, the first episode of The Cape, and all I kept thinking was, what the fuck? They cancel Heroes for this?
Just saying. Heroes, by that time, needed to be put out of its misery.
Well, no, I mean, here's the thing. With Heroes, there should have been at least a proper wrap-up.
True.
I disagree. I think that the way they left it open-ended, Claire revealed herself to the TV cameras, the whole world saw. We didn't need to see what happened after that. That open-ended...
Here's the thing. First off, that should have never happened.
I think it was a good way to end the series. I wish the series had ended after the very first season.
No.
And they had just stopped right there because...
I wish the second season had been good if we're going to talk about...
I mean, if we're going to be wishing for things, that is a more practical wish. Yes.
I think I wanted to see more Siler. I'm sorry.
She has a thing for Zachary Quinto.
Oh, God, he's so lovely. And then, Siler.
When he eats people's brains or whatever it was he did with them.
No, but, you know, here's the thing. As long as he's not doing it to me, I don't care.
Well, actually, I guess they revealed that he doesn't eat the brains or anything. He just opens it up, studies the way the brain is wired, and then he knows how to do the power.
Yeah.
But he has to look at the brain in order to figure it out.
Yeah. Which still makes more sense than Jor-El's cloning plan.
I don't like you guys right now.
No. Man, I love this. We should rename this episode to Smallville Sucks. And I love it.
Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're in the other room, it doesn't mean that you're safe.
I have a lock on the door.
It doesn't matter. I can break down the door.
I have a big stick.
And I'm frightened.
I will break down that door.
No, Kyle, you don't have to worry about it. She won't get on an airplane, so you're safe on the other side of the country.
What if she gets on a boat?
Oh, she won't get on a boat either.
No.
And she won't do a road trip, so she's stuck to the local area.
Choo-choo train.
Yeah, but that gives him days to find shelter.
So? I will find him.
I will disguise myself. I have a fake mustache.
You know what? We're actually going to get into a topic that becomes relevant in later.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for that to come up.
Oh, man.
Okay, so The Cape sucks.
Yeah.
No Ordinary Family has very big problems.
Yeah.
For example, the son who has the super brain powers, he's a super genius all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So he tries out for the football team. He's a scrawny little kid. He tries out for the high school football team, and he's this perfect quarterback because he can do the math behind the angle of how to throw what angle to throw the football in so that it goes exactly where he wants it to. Mm-hmm. My problem with that is he still doesn't have the muscle memory. Well, first off, he doesn't have the muscle memory to know how to throw in a perfect spiral. Second off, he does not have the athletic ability to throw a football all the way down field. Whether he can do the math of his angle or not doesn't matter, because if he doesn't have the physical strength to put the power behind that, other issues, but that's their thinking. They don't make sense either.
You can write that off as comic book science. Like, how does Peter Parker climb up a wall while he's wearing shoes? I mean, he shouldn't be able to do that.
That's true.
Well, see, okay, and I know this is going to maybe sound dumb, but okay, in the first Spider-Man movies where the Tobey Maguire was in, and then you saw the little things coming out of the tips of his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
How is that enough, just on the tip of your fingers, to carry the weight of a human being up a wall?
Science.
No, seriously though. But I mean,
I am serious. Science,
dude. And you know what? We're gonna talk about something in a little while where I need you to yell out science like that again.
Science! Is it the mustache thing?
No,
it's the William Shatner thing.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah, but no, have any of you guys watched V?
I watched the old V.
Yeah, me too. Not this one.
See, my thing about new TV shows is I don't buy, or I don't watch them. I buy the season sets because I hate having to wait in suspense for the next episode every week. So I just buy one season. I'm like, oh, there it is. Now to wait for next season. That's how I did Lost. And it worked for me.
Hmm. Yeah, I hate the week by week thing. Because, I mean, you know, with all the shows that we're watching right now, because, you know, we do like How I Met Your Mother and we'll watch... we watched Chopped, and then we watch, you know, like a bunch of other stuff, like when we talked about earlier with Big Bang Theory and, you know, Smallville and Spartacus and Big Love and stuff like that. I hate it because you only get like an hour, and then it's like, oh, okay, next week.
To be fair, you watch Smallville. I sit there and piss around on my iPhone.
You're mean. Why are we married? Shit. Hater. Well, then Aldo, sorry. Sorry about V.
From what I've seen of V, it looks very, very good.
Really?
I mean, it's lizard people, right?
I don't know. Like, they're
alien
this.
Lizard aliens or something.
Yeah, alien lizard people. And they have a baby or something, and that's always fun.
What?
Yeah. See, I would watch it for Monica Baccarin from Serenity and Firefly because she was hot there. But something about the way she looks in V, it's lost on me.
Short haircut.
It could be the haircut.
Or the fact that she's a lizard person.
Or the lizard person, yeah.
She is?
Yes. She's the leader of the aliens or something.
Visitors.
Huh. Visitors.
Well, shit. I have no idea. I never watched the original one.
You know what? It's probably like Melina before she removed... the face mask, and you found out that she had giant lizard teeth.
Tarkat.
I'd still hit it.
As long as she had the paper bag on, right?
Oh, I don't care.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, I can imagine the emails we're going to get about this episode now. okay, well,
bring them on.
No, Billy Schatz.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. All right. I love William Shatner as a musician. I will say that proudly and repeatedly. I think he is brilliant as a musician. And I cannot wait because I guess today it was announced, or today we found out, that he will be recording a metal cover album with a lot of big or semi-big musicians helping him out. Let's see here. What do we got? We got Ian Paice from Deep Purple, Peter Frampton, Bootsy Collins on bass, Steve Howe from Yes, Brian May from Queen, Mike Inez from I Forget, Zach Wilde from he did Black Sabbath.
And other stuff.
Black Sabbath is the only thing that matters. The album will be called Seeking Major Tom. Let's see here. They have confirmed so far that they're doing a cover of Black Sabbath's Iron Man, potentially doing Foo Fighters' Learn to Fly, Thomas Dolby's She Blinded Me with Science.
Science!
Thank you! And The Byrds' Space Odyssey with more to come. There's supposed to be, I think, over 20 songs on this album.
Yeah.
All I could think of is why wasn't Brutal Legend made after this announcement?
That's amazing. How could you go wrong, William Shatner and metal?
Seriously, I'm hoping he brings Henry Rollins back to help him on this one, too.
I am buying this on vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
Well, was it? We were in the car, I think this was a few months ago, and we were saying that, you know, it'd be cool if Billy Shatz did some Billy Shakes.
Oh, if he did some, like, Shakespeare stuff?
In a metal cover.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Do it, Hollywood. Call my bluff.
No, yeah. That'd be hilarious, though, because, I mean, I know that there's the part in Caesar that you liked having Billy Shatz do it.
Oh, if I could have him do Antony's soliloquy.
Yeah.
After he meets with Brutus and Cassius after they kill Caesar.
Yep.
That would be cool. Cry. Havoc and... that loose the dogs of war.
Oh, God, we've gone downhill.
No, we have gone uphill.
Oh man. But so I mean, do you guys want to say anything else about like what songs would you want to see on it? Are there any particular musicians you want to see him do shit with, or like what?
I'm still reeling from the fact that this is a thing in existence. I can't think of more things to put on it right now.
Hmm. Oh, that's a really good question. Oh, maybe a cover of Inagata De Vita. That could be really surreal.
Hmm.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, they're going to be doing, they're probably doing Bohemian Rhapsody. But Brian May
contributing on it.
Yeah. I'd like to see White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, yeah.
That could be, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
Cashmere.
Yeah, Cashmere. I was going to say Immigrant Song. Yeah.
Yes, Immigrant Song.
Yeah, or Tom Sawyer by Rush.
Oh, Tom Sawyer could be really good.
Yeah.
I Would Do Anything for Love by Meatloaf. Shatner singing I Would Do Anything for Love.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we have to email him specifically with these recommendations, because who knows?
Dear William Shatner, please do these things. We would love you.
Oh, my God.
Man.
We would do this for your love.
Ooh. I would want, okay, I know this is never going to happen, but I would want him to do Tool's prison sex.
Oh, I'd want him to do Stink Fist.
No, because in prison...
Hearing William Shatner sing talk about being elbow deep in someone's ass could be hilarious.
I don't have words for that.
Well, if you've ever listened to Stinkfist, he's singing about being... Oh, no, it goes to shoulder deep, actually, up someone's butt. So that's the mind of James Maynard Keenan.
Maynard James Keenan.
I could just imagine Shatner trying to sing that. He'd just stop halfway through. He's like, good Lord, this would kill him.
Oh, I'm so glad we have explicit marked with our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that William Shatner is doing a metal cover album.
Oh, man.
But, in case on the ridiculously off chance that William Shatner ever listens to this or hears about this.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill. I love you. You're amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm very sincere with that.
Billy Shatz.
So.
Round of applause.
Yeah. So, hey, sweetie.
Yes.
What? How about that? How about that mustache ride?
No.
Oh, we're getting to the mustache thing.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with mustache rides, because, to be honest, you keep declining my offers.
Hey,
anyway.
It's gross.
So we were at 7-Eleven just before we got home to start recording. I needed to get a Slurpee, which, actually, here you go.
I was wondering what that was. I knew you had a cup of some kind.
Yeah, I have to keep readjusting it because it's kind of low right now. So I keep getting the slurp part of it.
Mm.
Anyway.
You keep getting the slurp instead of the E? The
slurp instead of the E, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I love chewy gobstoppers. It's a candy. It's kind of a jawbreaker, but the regular version is a jawbreaker with multiple layers of flavors down.
Yeah,
to
the Slugworth wants them.
Yeah, Slugworth wants them. But the chewy version, instead of having that hard center, has a chewy core, so you can actually bite into it and crush it and start picking it apart. One of my favorite candies, and for a while they were readily available wherever you went to get candy, but they started disappearing slowly from, you know, these candy stores and convenience stores, and the only place I can get them now is a place about a mile away from my office, which is about 35 miles away from my house.
Oh.
So this last 3 weeks where I've been on vacation, I haven't been going to the office, so I haven't been getting my chewy gobstoppers. So I walk into 7-Eleven, I notice that the lady is ordering, so I say, hey, can you order chewy gobstoppers? Or, you know, as a franchise, are you required to order only what you're allowed to order? Long story short, she said, you know, talk to the owner, maybe he can make it happen. So as we're driving home, I'm telling Lindsay, you know, I kind of want to walk in there with a different disguise every day or like every few days for a couple of weeks and say, man, I sure wish you guys had some Chewy Gobstoppers.
Oh, I sure wish you guys had some Chewy Gobstoppers.
Oh, I sure wish you guys had some Chewy Gobstoppers. And, you know, just...
Louis Anderson, really? Or Louis Armstrong?
Yeah.
And, you know, put on the fake mustache, put on the fake hair, the fake glasses and nose, all that kind of stuff, and just go in and really bombard them with requests for Chewy Gobstoppers. Because I really want some closer than 36 miles away.
You know, I actually have a similar situation, not with Chewy Gobstoppers, but with Jones Soda. Because the mobile near my house doesn't have the flavors I like anymore. They used to have strawberry lime, which I would get every, like I would buy two of them every time I went in there because it's so awesome. One for now, one for later. Now they don't have that anymore. And I'm like, why? They don't, Ben Drew. Ever since you left, the entire town went to crap.
Oh. See what you did, Ben. Had to be your own man.
Yeah, I kept that place together.
Why did you leave me, Ben Drew?
I have greater things to do, Kyle. Greater things to see.
Oh, bullshit. Bring back my strawberry lime Jones soda, you bastard.
Yeah. One day.
Oh, he's like, never! I'm kidding.
I've got it all, fake mustache twirl.
Yeah. Oh, okay, man.
Listener question.
We have some.
Yeah, we have two, actually. Mm-hmm. First one is from Aldo, Shinobi Jack on Twitter. What is a gaming purchase you now lament, and what gaming purchase was a guilty pleasure? Well, I guess I'll start. I guess one gaming purchase I now lament was the Wii Fit. We got Wii Fit with the board for about $100 because Lindsay was so adamant about getting it. And she used it 3 times, and it's been sitting there for the last 2 years gathering dust. Gaming purchase guilty pleasure.
Barbie's Horse Adventures.
I actually never bought that.
I'm kidding.
I wouldn't say I had a guilty pleasure because I only play good games.
Hmm. I see.
Yeah, so anyway, who's next?
I'll go. The gaming purchase I lament, probably Nintendogs.
You freaking bought Nintendogs, man?
Yeah, I never even owned that game.
Well, I had a girlfriend at the time, and she's like, hey, we should both get this together. No.
Bad.
Wow.
My cousin Lee bought Nintendogs. He didn't have a girlfriend at the time. He just bought Nintendogs.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, snaps. I can't wait till we see him again. Oh, my God.
I feel bad.
Guilty pleasure. Maybe The Sims?
Hmm.
I'm gonna go with that.
Hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. Kyle?
Yeah.
Oh, me? You know, I hate to say this, and I know someone's going to take this out of context, but I think the thing I regret buying is the Wii in general.
Yeah.
And now, before I go any further, let me just say, I do enjoy the Wii. It has several good games on it, which I do enjoy playing. I like the Zeldas and the Marios and the Mad Worlds and the No More Heroes. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, it did the same thing that the GameCube and the N64 did, which is it completely alienated the majority of people making the really good games. So now I'm left with a small white rectangle that does nothing most of the time now. And they don't even have the virtual console updates anymore. I at least could get really cool old games on it. Now there's like none coming out.
I almost went with the Wii as well, for the same reasons.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, hold on. Do you have a guilty pleasure?
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at a stack of games right now because I couldn't think of any, and I think off the top of my head, I'll just say Dante's Inferno. Because that's pretty much a ripoff of God of War. But it has a boss, which is a gigantic naked lady who shits babies out of her nipples.
What?
What more can you need from
that? I never played. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the boss of the lust level. And I saw a video of that like a month before buying the game. I saw that one boss. I'm like, well, that's the end of that. I'm sold.
See, I never played it because I was so offended by how it distorted the Dante's Inferno story.
Yeah, the Divine Comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Butchered it.
But there's just a point where spectacle becomes so much that you just have to see it for yourself. And to be fair, to its credit, it's an acceptable game. It's not, like, award-winning, but I wouldn't go to call it a bad game, per se.
Well, you know, all you had to say was giant naked woman shitting babies out of her nipples.
And babies with knives for hands.
Oh, too. Nice. We're going to have to get that on Gamefly now.
What?
Baby. Large naked lady shitting knife-handed babies out of her nipples.
But by the way, the babies are unbaptized babies that go to hell because, of course, they weren't baptized. And the giant woman turns out to be Cleopatra. And she also shits out Mark Anthony, who you have to kill. I am not making this up.
How can we not get this game now?
Oh, God, I have a feeling we're going to end up going to Best Buy today.
Well, no, I'm not going to buy it because I'm still offended by how it deals with the story. But
okay, good.
Gamefly is it, definitely.
Oh, God. Well, I see.
Yeah, top that.
I don't think I can. I don't think anybody can. No, I don't. A gaming purchase you now lament. There was the Wii, but I have enjoyed it. I think, honestly, I probably would have to say there was the network adapter for the PS2. Yeah, because I bought it, and I only played, like, 3 games online. I played Tiger Woods 2005, which, in my opinion, was the best Tiger Woods game. And that was a lot of fun. I played GoldenEye Rogue Agent. And I also played, oh God, what was the Mortal Kombat game that was out at the time? Deception. Mortal Kombat Deception. Yeah, I played that online. And it was, I mean, for the price of the network adapter, I mean, you know, yeah, I mostly used it to play Tiger Woods online. But then I ended up getting an Xbox, and I traded all those games in so that I could get the Xbox versions of it, and then the accessory, it just sat there. So that pretty much was a, you know, why I should have just purchased an Xbox in the first place type thing. And plus, the servers at the time for the PlayStation 2 were shit because it was free, and so they really had no reason to go and, you know, keep up with the servers and maintaining connections and stuff like that. For a guilty pleasure? Oh, man. I got a good one. I really like the Dash franchise by PlayFirst. I know that. Yeah,
oh,
I know
like Diner Dash and stuff?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love them. I love them. And then I also love hidden object games where you have like a list of things that you have to search for, and then you got to go and you find them and stuff. And so, like, I play those kind of games a lot on the PC and then also on my iPhone, and I love them. And it's really weird because, you know, I'm not going to knock, you know, the casual genre of gaming, because I do feel that, you know, it does have a place. It does need mm-hmm. to be there. But, you know, for somebody, and I do classify myself as a hardcore gamer, especially because my two favorite genres, you know, you got first-person shooters and RPGs, but then for me to be like, you know, I'm going to go and wait some tables in Diner Dash or Soap Opera Dash or, you know, whatever. No, seriously. So
I can't wait to play Soap Opera Dash.
It's going to be gangster. Yeah. But no, I love those games because I think it's important to have a game where you can, I don't want to say like mentally check out, but just kind of relax and just play a game and not have it be, you know, hardcore like a Final Fantasy game or, you know, Doom or, you know, something like that where you have to be, you know, in your face and on edge and stuff like that. So I guess that's kind of like my balance point. But yeah, I love those games. I mean, shit. I love them. Send all those games to me. That's why, like, I'll play them, and you'll see me. I'm just like, hell yeah, I loved it. That was the best thing ever. And I mean it. I genuinely mean it. I fucking love them.
Well, we have one more listener question, which we are running really tight on time, but you know what? We're just going to run a little long because I really want to get to this question.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Lauren Itlu on Twitter. He actually writes for The Married Gamers, run by our friends Chris and Kelly. His question for us is, or his discussion topic for us, discuss who would win in a fight, Jean Grey or Wolverine?
Oh, the answer is simple. Batman.
He is prepared for every eventuality.
Uh-huh. He would just wander and it's like, hey guys, what's up, Dad?
Yeah, but, well, I mean, in Lauren's question, though, he did say that the events from the third X-Men movie do not need to be taken into account.
Well,
which...
yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, here's my take on this. He specifically says Jean Grey, not Phoenix, not Dark Phoenix, Jean Grey. And Jean Grey does not have a lot of the world-changing powers that Phoenix and Dark Phoenix have. So just looking at it that way, I'd have to say Wolverine.
Okay, here's the thing. Jean Grey's power is telekinesis, right?
Yes.
She can stop Wolverine as soon as he starts moving and then scramble his brain from the inside out. She doesn't do that because she's one of the good guys, but if it was like a fight to the death, she could kill him before he even moved a muscle.
But that depends on how the fight is set up. If she knows he's coming, yes. But he's Wolverine. He's one of the stealthiest, most... You know, he is a killer at his core.
But yeah. he also has telepathy, too.
Yep, I was just about to say that.
However, Wolverine has extremely powerful mental shields up based on his Weapon X training.
Yeah, but remember, he loves Jean Grey.
Yeah, I was about to say, but he is also very much in love with Jean Grey.
My God, suddenly I'm back in the fourth grade.
Yeah.
I've had this exact same discussion, I think.
Yeah, I have too. And it was in elementary school when we were on the playground because one of my friends would always, we'd pretend we were heroes and then we'd run around punching each other on the playground. That's what we did.
Yeah,
I did that too.
Yeah, so my friend would always be Wolverine. And then I'd usually end up being Mr. Fantastic because I could be 15 feet away without having to be punched. And I could say, oh, I just punched you, and I'd be safe. But no, he would always be Wolverine, and we'd have those arguments after we were done, who would win between who and who. And I'm pretty sure Jean Grey came up at one point or another. Had to have.
Yeah, because, I mean, if the question was Magneto, well, then we already know the answer, because there was that one comic back in the 90s where we saw that they all went up against Magneto, and he went and he just completely turned the skeleton inside out on him.
Well, he
pulled
people out of Mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through Wolverine's pores.
Right, and then he was bone... And he has bone claws afterwards.
That's how he found out the bone claws.
Yeah. And so that was awesome.
Yeah, that was real Mag fucking Neato.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, when you put Colossus up against Magneto or Wolverine up against Magneto, those are your two worst choices for
or
fighting
Omega
Magneto.
Red.
Or Iron Man.
Or Iron Man, yeah.
Or Omega Red.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. I think Jean would win. I think Jean would win because now.
Yeah, but you have a girl hard on for Jean.
No, not Jean. It's for the Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
But even then, Jean, you know, without the Phoenix power, she is really, really strong. You know, and she is really, really resilient. And so I think that. And wasn't it after a while? Because I know that she died, but then
like,
did she come back?
She does that a lot.
That's her other superpower, dying.
Well, no, I mean, I know that she committed suicide on the moon.
If you gotta go, I mean, jeez.
Well, that's
how I want to go. Just looking out at the Earth, I'm like, yeah, that's about right, dead.
Well, no, No, but seriously, though, I mean, I know that it was when she was having the struggle with the Phoenix powers because, you know, she saw that all the damage that she had done and she had regained, you know, control over herself, and then she committed suicide on the moon. But then didn't she come back and then she still,
I think that was the clone of Jean Grey because it wasn't actually Jean Grey. Jean Grey was at the bottom of the ocean and then she came back and Cyclops left his wife for her. And then the 90s happened, so fuck you, X-Men.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, well, because, I mean, I know there was Madeline Pryor.
Oh, and that little bundle of fun. Just the fuck you, Queen. X-Men continuity.
Yeah, the Goblin Queen. She was hot, though. If I was a dude, I would have done her. Well, then, shit. We really did not answer his question.
Well, we have different answers for the question. Okay, yeah, sure. Batman would win. Mm. All right, well, Lindsay and I were guests on a podcast this week, but when this comes out, of course, it will have been last week. Dirty Dowdy Podcast, which is a local Fresno podcast. You can check them out at dirtydowdy.com. We'd like to thank them for having us on their February 1st episode. Yeah, they're on dirtydowdy.com, and they're available through iTunes at Dirty Dowdy Podcast.
Yeah, and it's Dirty, spelled just like Dirty, and then Dowdy, it's Dowdy.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Do we want to do the talk about what we're currently doing?
No, fuck it. They don't need to know what we're doing.
Oh, I got to talk about the garbage plate.
Oh, yes, we need to know what that is.
Kyle, Ben, do you know what a garbage plate is?
You were telling me about it, but I don't really know what it is, really.
Yeah, okay. So for Super Bowl this Sunday, which is probably going to be over by the time you people hear this, we are going to be making garbage plates. And if you don't know what that is, it's a local dish from Rochester, New York. And pretty much what it is, let me try to remember exactly how it was described to me. First, you have like a taco salad under. Well, first, the plate. You have to have the plate. The plate is very important to the garbage plate. And then you have like a taco salad on there. But my friend doesn't like the taco salad, so he just doubles up on home fries. Not French fries or hash browns, but home fries. Mm-hmm. And then you put down either cheese or two hamburgers and two hot dogs. Or you can double up and have two hamburgers and two hot dogs. Then you put down more cheese. And then the special hot sauce found only in Rochester. Now, this is important because the hot sauce from Rochester is basically grease and spice. It's the leftovers from previous garbage plates, I think. And then you slather that with ketchup and mustard, and that is a garbage plate.
And that sounds also horrible.
That's the most vile thing I've ever heard.
There are variants. You can put grilled cheese sandwiches on it. You can have a fish fillet garbage plate. It's pretty much, if you see something in the kitchen, you throw it on the plate and you combine it with other things, and that's your garbage plate. And I've never actually had one, but I've heard they're the most delicious thing in the entire world. As long as you're a guy.
Right, and in good health.
In good health. Let me tell you about the garbage plate run. And I've only heard about this. I've never actually seen it.
Now, let me ask you a quick question before you finish this. Uh-huh. Garbage plate run, as in going to buy everything for the garbage plate, or garbage plate run, as in the
Montezuma's revenge?
As in the effects of the garbage plate on your digestive tract.
No. Although, that might also be an apt terminology. The garbage plate run is actually a marathon.
What?
Uh-huh. You start at the restaurant that serves the garbage plate. You eat a garbage plate. You run, I think, a mile.
Oh, God.
To another station, which has, I think it's like a gallon of beer. You down the gallon of beer.
Oh, you're going
to
die.
You run back to the restaurant, and you eat another garbage plate. And you do this back and forth until you vomit. The last person standing wins the garbage plate run.
What's the prize?
Yeah.
You need a fucking prize to do this?
Yes!
What's the motivation to run and vomit?
I think it's the same motivation which led to the creation of the garbage plate. Mass stupidity.
Yes. Oh, that sounds like it would be so entertaining to watch.
Record it for us, please.
Oh, we're not doing the run.
Oh.
I don't even know if they do the run anymore.
there's an actual restaurant that serves the garbage place. It's not something you make at home.
I think it's Nick Tahoe's in Rochester that made it. Like,
wow.
The best one. I think that's the name of the restaurant. I get confused with Timmy Ho's. I can't remember which one is which.
Timmy Ho's?
Yeah, it's Tim Hortons, but people call it Timmy Ho's.
Oh, okay. I was like, damn. We need to go to the East Coast because shit is crazy out there.
Well, isn't Hortons Canada only? Or do they have them in New York also?
Do we have them in New York?
Oh, yeah. All
right. There's one in Syracuse now.
I thought it was just a big Canadian franchise.
Okay.
Canada.
Okay, well, now that we all need to go see a cardiologist after that little discussion, we have a game night tonight. Of course, it'll be passed by the time people hear this, but it is tonight at 7 p.m. Xbox 360 game Blur. You can add, again, X Psylocke, like the X-Men character, for Lindsay, or X Kenobi, like the original trilogy Star Wars character, for me. Our next community game night will be Friday, February 11th at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we will be playing X-Men Arcade on Xbox Live.
Yes!
Because I need
Wolverine can totally win that fight.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And we're playing that because I just need one more achievement, and I need five people to play with me.
Oh, so you're just...
because I'll join.
Four extra people, yeah. Yeah, so I'm pretty much using our user base to get an achievement.
Well, now I don't support you.
No, I don't know. It'd be fun anyways.
No, it'll be fun. It's
yeah, it'll
fun
be
game.
Fun. Right, yeah, because I was going to say, like...
I think our readers are being used now.
And no. That's... See, the reason why I think that it would be fun is for this reason and this reason alone. A lot of people can drop in and drop out, and it would be nice to be able to play a full game with all the characters where nobody drops in and drops out. It's just the same group the whole way. I think that would be fun.
It will be very fun.
That would be Mag fucking Nito.
Yeah.
That's the second time I use that phrase.
Yeah,
awesome.
That's right.
Make it a thing.
Yeah.
That's your challenge. Make it a thing.
Yeah, that could be your thing right there. But yeah, so I guess that's really the end of our second episode, which is labeled episode one. Feeling like a ham and mustard shake. But yeah, definitely check us out for our community game nights, which will be every Friday. You know, if you ever have any questions that you want us to talk about on the podcast, or, you know, any topics or anything like that, go ahead, send us a message on Twitter. It's at marooners_rock. Go ahead and hit us up on Facebook. You can either log into Facebook and search for Marooners Rock, or you could just go to our website where there's a little widget right there so you can easily find it. Our website, it's www.maroonersrock.com, and that's MAROONERSrock.com. I know. I had
forget
to think
how to
for
spell
a second.
It there for a second.
I did. I was like, shit. But yeah, so I mean, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for checking out our website and all this other good crap, because we really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And thank you in advance for whoever sends me the big box of Chewy Gobstoppers so I don't have to drive 35 miles.
Or wear a crazy mustache and do...
Or wear a crazy mustache and disguises.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we'll see you all next week, and have a good one.
Later on, guys.